Welcome to the Porch here on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund. Getting back to basics, examining the Word of God, the Book of Acts Church, how they did it, why they did it, and the way they did it, that's our example. Church age is still in effect. The day of Pentecost continues. The fire still falls. And that's why the Porch has been here to restore the priesthood of the believer and regaining that world-shaking influence the early church had. Porch is an outreach, Solomon's Porch, Inc. Go to onsolomonsporch.org if you would like to contact us. The site's being revamped. We'll be posting updates, news, and links as we begin to revamp and change things. If you have any questions, visit the site. Use the contact button. If you'd like to support what we do on Firefall Talk Radio, and we appreciate all of you that do, go to firefalltalkradio.com. There are ways to do that. We post blogs, thoughts, edification, and encouragement on solomonsporch.com. I will be putting a blog link on the main site so that you don't have to jump between two different sites. Welcome to our Blog Talk listeners, iTunes, and iHeartRadio listeners. We have not received any word on the application for Spotify. Hoping that goes through. You can always subscribe to the Spreaker app. I don't know what that is. Don't subscribe to it. But the Spreaker app will update you on when we're broadcasting and when a new show has been posted. We also still post on social media, Facebook and Twitter. We will continue to use that just to keep you updated. And something I'm going to work on here right now, this has been on a separate folder called The Porch, a separate show. That worked when we had multiple shows. I'm trying to see if I can change that to where everything is under the Firefall Talk Radio streaming line. That way it would align better with some of the other streaming services. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do that this late in the game, but I will let you know. Like I said, the overall format of The Porch is changing in June. Praise reports and prayer requests will be a week-to-week decision and will be condensed into bullet points, but to help out with that and to continue the community aspect, I will be forming a prayer team for The Porch to help with that. If you wish to be a part of that, just let me know. Go to onsolomonsporch.org, firefalltalkradio.com. If we're connected on social media, just write me and say, hey, I want to be a part of the prayer team. Praise reports and prayer requests. Well, as always, I have to praise the Lord for all that he's given me, my salvation, for my home, for my wife, for my family, my sons, daughter-in-laws, and the soon-to-be grandchild, for our furry kids and the possessions, the technology that I'm using right now. I praise him for his protection, that Psalm 91 covering that is always present, for the ministry that he allows me to work, and I praise him for all of you. Praise him for the dreams and the visions, some of which are coming about, and some new ones have been added. For the healing virtues that he continues to offer us, for the ability to live in a country that allows us to do this openly without fear of reprisal, for as long as that lasts, for being a new creation. In a time like this, a prophetic time. So I praise him for that. I praise him for the signs that he's getting ready to return. I sincerely believe that. And that's why I encourage you to get your lamps trimmed, filled with oil, and be ready. I'm ready for the return of the king. Creation's groaning for it. So I praise him for the coming kingdom, for the new Jerusalem. My prayer request is for the current Jerusalem and the peace of Israel, which means I pray for the return of the Prince of Peace. Pray for their protection against all enemies. I pray for the fatherless, the widows, the innocents, the victims of injustice, all of our brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering for their faith. I want to see us live, and I pray that we do in accordance with his word, both physically, in accordance with his divine design, mentally, spiritually, prosperity. I want it to be in accordance with his word, not with some of the ridiculous false teachings that are out there. For all of you that are sick, I pray that you'd have the faith and and the ability to believe and that you would be healed and you'd be a living witness to him. I pray for the protection and the inspiration needed in these days ahead for the remnant to wake up, rise up, answer the call to action. Harvest is great, laborers are few. So for those of us that are rising up to work, we need a spiritual empowerment, a quickening in our mortal bodies. I pray that those that have been blessed would be a blessing, that they would open the conduits of his blessings. I have an unspoken prayer request for a former member of SRT. He's having a rough time of it right now. I can't give you the name or the details without betraying. So I'm just saying, pray for this former member of SRT. Stacy in Texas, thankful for my family, for her kids, like-minded believers in my life. Said her mom is out of the hospital, but she has to go back every day for outpatient treatment. Keep her in your prayers for her health as well as her soul. Stacy would like prayer as they get back on their feet there in Texas, whatever God's will is, for her and her husband Neil and the family to be on track. Unspoken prayer request for her marriage and her family as well. She says, I'm weary, but not giving up. Amen. Kim in Fort Mitchell says it's been stormy and rainy in every shape and form over there. All it's done here is nonstop rain. Said emotionally, mentally, and the weather too. I hope these storms will pass. Said, I cannot believe I forgot to put in my prayer request and praise report last week. I covered you as best I could, Kim. Said the whole graduation deal was crazy. Kids are out of school now, and I praise them for that. You sure that's not a prayer request? But we'll just call it a praise report. Says every morning when they got on the bus, I spoke a prayer over them, praising my father for winning the appeal that I filed. I did get the news last week, could not believe it. Said I wasn't very happy with the things that I said at the interview, but God said yes. So thank you, everyone who prayed her through this battle. Says I praise him for this ministry, for you, Richard, for Stacy and Peggy. You are amazing. I praise him for my children, my mother, for my salvation, my sobriety. I praise him for Betsy and all the people he places in my life to carry a message or to learn a lesson. I said, Father, please guide me through this fog. I feel emotionally drained. Teach me how to go on in this marriage. I said, I need prayers, my son Maurice. Breaking free of video games, like many teenagers. Becomes an addiction and a distraction and an obsession. So we just pray against that. Should free him, Father, deliver him. My daughter, London Sarah, needs healing. The fact the whole family needs her healing. Folks, if right now, in the name of Jesus, if you and your family are struggling on any level for any reason, Father, we just pray right now. We just stop right in the middle of this. We pray for divine health and healing. We pray for the peace that surpasses all understanding. We pray for the enemy's attacks against them to be stopped, for you to break them free of the bondages and the tricks and the things and the traps that the enemy has put them in. Lord, glorify yourself right now for these families in Yeshua's name. Amen. Says, I need healing emotionally, physically, and mentally, having car problems again, transmission this time. Father, take over. Kids and I are flying to Germany next week. Boy, your arms will be tired. Oh, that's right, getting on a plane. This is the first time going home for me since I've been sober, so please protect my sobriety, Father. Praying for financial blessings, peace of mind for the Porch families, for the community, that it is, this community is a blessing. It gives me hope. Praying for Stacy and her family, for SRT, for a good friend of mine named Mike, a veteran with PTSD, and needs to know you, Father. Protection and favor for everyone named here and for everyone listening. Finally, she says, Father, show me how to be a light and shine in Jesus' name. What else is there, Lord, but to be a light in the darkness, to fulfill the Great Commission, to walk in your name and your freedom, and to lead others to you. So we just come to you right now, boldly approaching the throne of grace and mercy, crying out, Abba, Father, Papa, God, Daddy, clamoring for your attention, and knowing that you see each one of us and love each one of us. Father, we need your touch. We need your grace. We need your mercy. We need your freedom. We need all the things that have been mentioned here and the things that are being mentioned by those that are listening. Heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit, we love you. But we also need help in those areas. The enemy has attacked us from any side and every side. So I pray, Father, that you would inspire us to remember to pray for one another, to stand in the gap for one another, to do what you called us to do as a family. Let this word get through, Lord. Let your spirit get through. Let those that desire to be filled with the Spirit right now, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, be filled with the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit. Be set free. Be delivered. Be empowered. Lord, we love you and we thank you for what you did on the cross. We thank you for what you continue to do for us and with us through your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit. We thank you for comfort for those that mourn. We live in a fallen world. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. Sometimes we suffer death. Sometimes we suffer things that we think is going to break us, but it doesn't because you're with us. As we watch the signs of the times, as we see what's going on in the world, Father, our hearts, our souls, and our spirits cry out, Maranatha, come Adonai Yeshua, come Lord Jesus. Bless this time and the technology in Yeshua's name. Amen. Lessons are proprietary information, except where noted that the information comes from outside sources. Combination of that information, the manner presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. So last week we talked about decisions. This week we're talking about choices and consequences. So bear with me. I've got a bunch of scripture here that I've tied together that will set up where I'm going. Get your Bibles open. Get your apps open. Take notes. Do whatever you need to do to get this, to feed on this word. I'll be reading from John 14:26, John 15:26-27, John 16:5-11. I'm just going to go straight through. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. But I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father. He will testify all about me. And you must also testify about me because you've been with me from the beginning of my ministry. But now I am going away to the one who sent me. And not one of you is asking where I am going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it's best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because of the ruler of this world has already been judged. So he was setting the stage for the dispensation of the Holy Spirit from the Father, from the throne room. Go with me to Acts 1. This is the setup. It's about to happen. During the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. And he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift," he promised. "As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring mighty wind, a windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone was present. Everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit, began speaking in other tongues, other languages, as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So we know what happened. They were waiting. The Spirit fell. They got filled. They began to speak in other tongues and other languages. They stumbled outside and began to witness to the world. Peter, who had run away before, is now running towards. He's going towards the crowd. He's telling them this is what the prophet Joel prophesied. He convicts them and he leads thousands to the Lord. Over the days that follow, more people get led to the Lord. Miracles happen. The lame man at the gate, beautiful. Peter and John are arrested for that, which we're going to pick up in Acts 4:23. They were kept overnight. They were beaten. They were set free and told not to speak. Peter and John basically, in not so many words, said, "We have to tell the truth. We have to tell what we've seen and heard." As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. And when they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voice together in prayer to God. "O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, 'Why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah.' In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor of the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Yeshua, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Yeshua." After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. All the believers were united in heart and mind. And they felt what they owned was not their own. So they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of Adonai Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. For instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and had come from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles. This is where we're going to be picking up from this moment here. But basically, through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, not only did the gifts come, but the fruit came, love. And you have all these people in Jerusalem. They're there for the feast. They experience Pentecost. They get saved. Signs and wonders and miracles begin to happen. They don't leave. Now there are people that have overstayed their planned trip. They need help. They need food. They need places to stay. And in a true observance of love and brotherhood, being unselfish and so full of his love, they began to take care of one another. This wasn't a communal aspect. This was, at that moment, there was a need. They took care of it. And that should be proof of who we are, that we take care of one another. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Messiah, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let us each esteem others better than himself. See, the presence of the Holy Spirit will change us, or should change us. It should bring something directly from the throne room, that love of God for his children, that love that we should have for one another. John 13, verses 34 and 35, Yeshua told the disciples, and therefore everyone who believes afterwards, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. But it didn't last long. Let's get real. Let's be honest. It didn't last long. Years later, it became an issue. James talks about it in chapter 2, starting verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. What he was basically saying, if you have faith, if you are filled, if you are born again, it will show in your actions, in your choices, in what you say and what you do and how you take care of one another. John talks about it, 1 John chapter 3, starting verse 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth, in actions. See, these new believers were so changed, they were transformed, and they became selfless with their personal possessions for the good of others that had the same faith. They had all things common. We saw it in Acts chapter 2. Actually, there was a foreshadowing of what I'm talking about now. Now all who believed were together, and they had all things in common, and sold their possessions and their goods, and divided them among them all as anyone had need. Remember I said, they're all in Jerusalem. They came here for a specific period of time. Now they're staying. Who wants to go home? Signs and wonders, miracles. They're changed. They're transformed. They've seen prophecy fulfilled. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. See, this concept of a community of goods was not strange among the Jews. The community idea was actually pretty common. But this was carried a little further and longer than just the feast. These multitudes stayed longer. There's a revival happening. There's awakening happening. Something has changed. They don't want to go home. So that means they needed help. And the brethren helped them. And to do it, maybe some sold some things in order that people could be provided for and this temporary revival could be sustained. The collections were taken then to take care of that later on. It's pretty much for just the poor. But no one was forced to do this. It was a choice. Socialists and communists will try to prove their political philosophy. is the only Christian one by using these scriptures. But even Yeshua will not have a socialist or communist government when he comes back to rule and reign. It's going to be a theocratic form of government where sin and selfishness will not be tolerated. It's out of this concept the social gospel arises, and the social gospel is not the full gospel. Remember what he said in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power, you shall receive dunamis when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So great power has come upon the church, which gave witness to the resurrection of Yeshua as Messiah, and because of that, grace, great grace was upon them all. That's Acts 4:33. His favor was upon them because of this. Mighty, exceeding power was present. Ephesians 1:19 refers to it. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power. When he's present, listen to me. I know you are, but I have to shift in my seat. Get a little more emphatic here, because I got to be honest with you. After all these years of doing this, 30 years in October, and all the Bible studies, and all the teachings, and all the seminars, and pouring out my heart, pouring out what the Lord has filled me with, I still don't think we're getting it. He gave us power. But not just for us, not for the dog and pony show, not for anything more but to verify to the world who he is and who we are in him. Excellent power. See, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of this power may be of God and not us. It's not meant to draw attention to us. That's what 2 Corinthians 4:7 is. It's not mentioned that made or happened to venerate people or put them up on pedestals or stages or give them their own television shows or internet shows and make it out that they're all that. They're not. He's all that. It's an eternal power. The same power that he used to speak creation. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Paul was trying to get the church in Rome to get it. It's a glorious power. That in Colossians 1, starting in verse 11, Paul was trying to get them to understand, we also pray that you'll be strengthened through his glorious power, so you will all have the endurance and the patience you need. Let me say that again for those that are weary. We pray that you will be strengthened with his glorious power, so that you'll have all the endurance and the patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. See, this is the divine power given to us that pertains to life and godliness, that through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, we shine it back to the world. And so let me go back to Acts 4:33 and give you the amplified version. For with great strength and ability and power, the apostles delivered their testimony to the resurrection of Adonai Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, and great grace, loving kindness, and favor, and goodwill rested richly upon them all. Great grace. That's charis in the Greek, charis. It's grace in Persian. It's graciousness. It's grace on the part of the giver, favor and kindness. Same word in other places as favor. Luke 2:52, Yeshua increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Where is that? Where is it? It was passed on through the Holy Spirit. For brief moments in time, we get it. We become united in heart and mind, willingly offering and helping out and taking care of the needs of others. And how the enemy fights that is he attacks your needs. He attacks you and he tries to shut you down. He tries to keep you from doing it. But see, this sharing was voluntary. It wasn't with coercion. It wasn't some ridiculous televangelist asking for $54 million for a jet he doesn't need and burdening his supporters and pressuring them into giving him the money so that he can get this jet and be like his other two false teaching brothers in other ministries that have similar planes. It's not a burden. If someone's putting a burden on you, it's not from God. See, if the love is there, if the unity is there, if the Holy Spirit's there, you want to do it. Nobody has to tell you to do it. The sense of community, the love of believers for one another, the concern for one another. And great grace, great favor was upon them all. There were great things happening in the book of Acts, church. Great power, great grace, which also brought about great fear. Great company, great wonders, great miracles, which also caused great persecution. But in the end, all of it brought great joy. But there was another great aspect, and that was the consequences. Go with me to Acts chapter 5. Everything I just gave you was the prelude to the real teaching, which we'll probably go over in the next week or two. Go with me to Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But there was a certain man named Ananias, who with his wife Sapphira sold some property. And he brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. And then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not sell as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. And as soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. And everyone who heard about it was terrified. Then some young men got up, wrapped him in a sheet, took him away, and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter asked her and says, was this the price you and your husband received for your land? Yes, she replied, that was the price. And Peter said, how could the two of you even think of conspiring to test the Spirit of the Lord like this? The young men who buried your husband are just outside the door, and they will carry you out too. Instantly, she fell to the floor and died. When the young men came in and saw that she was dead, they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear gripped the entire church and everyone else who heard what had happened. Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias means the Lord is gracious. Sapphira is Aramaic for beautiful. So what you have is grace and beauty. Maybe their parents named them those names, hoping that those qualities would be theirs just because of the names. Yeah, not so much. And here they were disciples. They were followers. They were a part of the Jerusalem Fellowship that we've been reading about and talking about. And they were in the midst of all this, and they saw the day of Pentecost and everything that had happened, and yet they were still deceived by Satan, by Satan. Folks, I know this is not a popular part of Scripture, but what it shows is Satan's good at what he does. He knows what buttons to push. He knows what to say and do to get man to do what he wants them to destroy themselves. Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart that you should lie to and attempt to deceive the Holy Spirit, and should, in violation of your promise, withdraw secretly and appropriate for your own use part of the price from the sale of the land? As long as it remained unsold, was it not still your own? And even after it was sold, was not the money at your disposal and under your control? Why, then, is it that you have proposed and purposed in your heart to do this thing? How could you have the heart to do such a deed? You have not simply lied to men, playing false and showing yourself utterly deceitful, but to God. And of course we know when he heard those words, he fell down and died. Why? Why? Why is the question that is asked of Ananias and asked of his wife Sapphira? Of course Peter knew why. But we still have to ask why. You want to look at him while this is happening and say, you fool, why? Why would you do this? But Peter had the gift of word of knowledge and the discerning of spirits. He had revelation knowledge. He was functioning in the newly dispensed gifts of the Spirit, the diversity of gifts coming from the same Spirit. Manifestation of Spirit given to each one for the profit for all, given by the Spirit, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gift of healings, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different tongues, interpretations of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. That's from 1 Corinthians 12. So what we see here tangibly are the gifts of the Spirit, which I've just read to you, manifested in the book of Acts Church. Why don't we see that today? I'm going to talk about that in a second. The fire is fresh. The fire is hot. Salvations are happening. We're in the middle of an awakening. Not a revival, this is more of an awakening. But the one thing we don't want to talk about is the fact when the gifts are present, there's going to be judgment. Judgment begins on the house of the Lord. There's going to be miraculous rescues and deliverances because the enemy doesn't like any of this stuff. There's going to be laying on of hands. The Holy Spirit's going to be, that fire is going to be passed on. People are going to be healed. Other people are going to have the gifts. You're going to have immunity from the tricks and the traps and the dangers of the enemy, whether it be poisons or snakes or whatever. People are going to get raised from the dead. During this period of time, there were earthquakes. The one that shook the jailhouse. The one that shook the place where they were praying. There's even going to have unique miracles like in Acts 19 when people would take the handkerchiefs or the aprons that had been on Paul's body that had soaked up the power and the presence and the anointing of God. The people that were sick or had diseases or demon-possessed were healed. And it wasn't like you see on TV. Send me $39.95. I'll send you this little handkerchief I prayed over. That's not what it was. These were things that had been on Paul, that had absorbed the anointing and the presence of God that was oozing from him, out of his pores, in his life to others. The Spirit was manifested in these people. The fullness of the Spirit. When the Spirit is present, if he's the Spirit of truth, he's going to expose things. Peter was reading Ananias and Sapphira's mail. That's what I call it. When in a moment of time, God opens a folder and I begin to see things that I have no way of knowing. Oh, we don't want any of that. No. We don't want that, Brother Richard. Don't call me out on my sin. Don't tell me what I was doing last night in another place with another woman that wasn't my wife. You can't have the Holy Spirit present and not have those things happening. When the fullness of the Spirit is manifested, things happen. Signs and wonders, miracles, the gifts of the Spirit according to His will. How can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, various miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. In the book of Hebrews. Come on, if you read it, it's there. It's there. The red letter basic, go into all the world, preach the gospel, the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. Anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They'll cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new tongues. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They'll be able to place hands on the sick, and they will be healed. Of course, when the Lord said that in Mark 16, he got done, he was taken up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of the Father, and the disciples did what? They sat down, built a building. No. They went out. How can you not move after seeing that? How can you not, with that fire, want to run and go do? And they did. They went everywhere. They preached. And the Lord worked through them. The Lord worked with them, confirming what they said by his miraculous signs. You want to know why we have no signs and wonders in the church? Because his word is not being preached, therefore he can't confirm it. Signs and wonders don't precede the word, they follow the word, they confirm him, they glorify him. Ananias and Sapphira proved that signs and wonders also deal with the sin in the church. Because the Spirit of truth is just that, the Spirit of truth. And this forces us, this account, Acts 5, forces us to face the fact that our Heavenly Father, our Abba, our Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, deals with sin. Especially in family members that are deceitful and lack integrity. Well, I'll tell you why that's not happening today. I'm sure many of you thought, well, why isn't this happening today, Richard? Because churches have become sin centers. There's nobody there preaching a word or living a life that can cause that kind of conviction and that kind of manifestation. Let's get real here. If you see a place packed to the rafters with people, I can tell you conviction is not present. Conviction, the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, like we saw in Wales and Azusa Street, it will draw people, it will put them on their knees, it'll change their lives, but the church itself really doesn't want it. As you saw with Wales and Azusa Street and every other time this happened, the organized traditional church did everything in their power to shut it down. I cry out for this every day. Not because I want to see people hurt or exposed. I want to see them healed and delivered. I want to see them plundered from the kingdom of darkness. But I will guarantee you this. Our Heavenly Father is going to act in a way to preserve the integrity of his community just like he did then. And that's what he did with Ananias and Sapphira. This was a new community. This was building. It was growing explosively. And he had to establish integrity. Otherwise, there's going to be no confidence in the truthfulness of the message or the messengers. Basically, Luke says that in Luke chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, in the introduction. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things which you were instructed. There was an integrity to the message. It was complete. It was undivided. It was not false. The word integrity does not occur in the New Testament according to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, but it uses other words like sincerity, truth, a pure heart, a single eye. Basically, the sense of simplicity was to being honest, sincere, genuine, and fundamental to the true character of a believer. We're supposed to have character, not be one. In Job chapter 2, the Lord says to Hasatan, says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. And still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. The accuser of the brethren is going to look for areas of our life to accuse us. And if there's any areas that lack integrity, he will point them out. Psalm 25:21. Let integrity, and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Psalm 18:20. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me. We hear about the child Yeshua in Luke 2:40. The child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Great grace was upon him. Favor was upon him. Why? Integrity was in his DNA. He is our example. He left us an example to follow in his steps. He didn't lie. He didn't twist words. He didn't tell partial truths, a half-truth, to twist the truth. Anytime you hear that, that's the source of the father of all liars, the father of lies himself. So while this, in one sense, is good news, the narrative is bad news for anyone who would take the casual approach to the kingdom of God. Now, why is this so important? Why am I sharing this? Why am I dealing with the sin of Ananias and Sapphira, which, by the way, wasn't greed? They probably still gave a substantial gift to the church. The sin was pride. The sin was seeking the praise of others and trying to get the praise that the brother that sold his land got. Name just went right out of my head. That was their sin. Anytime we seek the world's praise, We set ourselves up for judgment. We can either be a friend of the world or a friend of God, but you can't be both. Remember what Peter said to him, as long as it remained unsold, it was in their own control, it was in their own will, but they purposed in their heart, the two of them together, they came into agreement, they purposed in their heart to do this thing. They didn't just play the fool and lie to man, they lied to God. Conceived in your heart, carefully planned deception. See, my issue with Ananias and Sapphira is though they were born again, though they were believers, though they were disciples, something was still wrong in their heart. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. How was that still there? I don't know. I don't know their whole story. I just don't know. What I do know is it cost them their lives. Proverbs 6:16-19 tells me this. Six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speak lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. But here's what we'll say. Satan tempted me. He made me do it. Look what he did to Adam and Eve in the garden. Well, he didn't make them do anything. They made a choice, and their choices had consequences. James was dealing with it in the Jerusalem church. Let no one say when he's tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Ananias and therefore his wife, they were in partnership in this situation. Compromised their sincerity. Compromised the unity and the integrity of the Book of Acts church that was just growing and forming. Some people that were just saved on the day of Pentecost are coming in now. They're seeing these wealthy people, boom, drop dead because they lied. This, for me, is for the good of the church, which is why we're going to see people fall. We've been seeing them fall. We've seen people taken home early. We've seen people go to jail for corrupt things that are now being exposed, but we haven't seen anything yet. Judgment has flickered at the house of the Lord. Judgment is coming because he can't judge the world until he judges us first. That would be hypocritical of him. And the judgment didn't come from Peter. It came from God. The first church of the church age was vital that it was founded in integrity, no hypocrisy. That's it. They wanted the same accolades that Levite Barnabas from Cyprus got. They wanted the same admiration. They wanted to hear the same things. Folks, the pride and the pursuit of the favor of this world is killing us. It's no wonder the enemy is so powerful in the church today. It's no wonder the world looks at us and mocks us and doesn't want to hear what we have to say. Like I said, I mentioned the televangelist that's been in the headlines all week. I need a $54 million jet because I can't be flying through airports that have demons in them. Please. Jesus be flying a jet if he were here today. Well, maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't, but he'd be flying coach, so he'd be amongst the people like he did everywhere he goes. He wouldn't be on a private $54 million jet, dude. I pray you get your jet. I pray you manipulate the sheep and the fools to give you the money. And I pray it and you perish. As an example, choices and consequences. We can't have the fire of the Holy Spirit and think that it's not going to singe us when we mishandle it. Look at Aaron's son when they mishandle the fire from the altar. I want to change the world. I want to see the captive set free. I want to plunder the kingdom of darkness. I want to do what the Lord said do. But I also understand it has to be done in integrity. It has to be done with the understanding that there are choices and consequences for those choices. I get to choose what to do and how I get to do it. And I guess I'm at the place in the age where some things seem to be about to happen that would put me in that position that I don't care about money. I don't care about the trappings of this world. I just care about making straight the highway and to prepare the return of the King, taking care of people, taking care of his creation, doing everything that needs to be done for the kingdom of God against the kingdom of darkness. I'm going to stop there. I have a whole another 10 pages. I knew there was going to be a part two. I just didn't know where I was going to stop it. So I'm going to stop it. It's a hard word. I get it. I know. This isn't ear tickling. First of all, I don't do that anyway. If you came here for ear tickling, you got the wrong guy. But what I speak to you from my heart. I believe it's from the throne room itself. Because I speak to you in a way, in a passion for the flock and for his children. Because I see what the enemy's doing. And I know what it's going to take to stop it. And the first thing it's going to take is for integrity and character to come back into the church. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I just come before you. I pray that this word has seeped into the DNA of those listening. I pray that we can come together as a family, begin to help and take care of one another, begin to pray for one another, begin to beat back the enemy. Father, in the name of Jesus, for all your children right now that are under attack, I stand in the gap for them. I call for angelic reinforcements and a Psalm 91 covering. I pray, Father, that you would destroy, seek and destroy, search and destroy the parts of their life that don't please you, are not from you, that are in bondage to the enemy. Drive the darkness away. Cover them in your glory. Fill them with your light. Set them free, Father. Let us take care of one another. Let's pray for one another, Lord. And let's be what you designed us to be. Not only back to our divine design physically, but our divine design as a church, as a body. Please, Father. Please, I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Choices and consequences. We'll pick up this teaching next week. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.